Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Midday show here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Going to get to Joe Patrick in just one moment, but I did want to get to one more NFL story we didn't get to in No Huddle, Randy, and that's the 13 first-year names on the Hall of Fame ballot. And I was looking at this, and I do not envy the voters in this one because you got – three big-time quarterbacks, two big-time running backs.
Who are the three big-time quarterbacks?
Well, just by name. They're not all going to be in discussion here.
Oh, okay.
And some offensive defensive linemen. I just want to go one by one real quick. And okay.
I'll let you go. We didn't got to go that far.
But just right. real quick.
Drew Brees, yes. Larry Fitz, yes.
Are we done?
Yep. First ballot?
Phillip Rivers is in, but not first ballot.
Yeah.
Alex Smith never gets in.
No.
Frank Gore,
he'll eventually get in,
but not first.
He'll eventually get in.
LeSean McCoy.
Eventually, he'll get in.
Greg Olson.
Eventually, we'll get in.
First ballot for Witten?
No. If Gates ain't no first ballot, he's not.
David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey, Thomas Davis. None of them get in?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. There we go.
I have a tough time not getting Witten in on the first ballot.
If Gates wasn't in, Witten ain't in, because Gates is better than Witten.
I don't disagree. I also hate that argument in general.
I'm with you because Gates should have been in. But
No,
if he's not, if Gates ain't a first ballot, Witten's a bad boy. Bad boy.
You said neither first ballot for McCoy or Gore. Who gets in first?
Frank.
I think that it's a weird discussion because of longevity versus explosiveness. Right. It's a weird discussion for Gore, but I think you have to. Anyways, all right, Falcons insider Joe Patrick stops by every Thursday at this time, 1:20. So let's go ahead and welcome Joe in.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe, before we jump into Falcons, one, welcome in, and two, is there a musical star or act that people might be surprised that you'd be interested in getting tickets for?
Ooh, surprise for me? It's probably not all that surprising. My musical tastes these days are like 90s rock. So maybe some of like the softer 90s rock. Actually, probably people would expect that I like enjoy softer 90s rock, but... you know, Chris Thomas plays Amy Grant for me every time I come on, so maybe that. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I think, I'm doing a better job. You can like whoever the hell you like. I just thought it was funny that Olivia Rodrigo, Abe wants to go see her. Again, got nothing against that. I text my 18-year-old daughter. She said that she is awesome and everything like that. She said, why? I said, because Abe is discussing that he wants to go to the show. My daughter, Kai, just responded back to me. And her reaction was, she's versatile. So, hey, so there are plenty of 40-year-old men at her concert, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
You can't even go by yourself,
okay,
though.
Bo, stop it. Because Bo said the same thing that I was saying, by themselves. Abe was not going there by himself, all right?
There wasn't?
Just what I didn't think, Lord, just tell me.
I mean,
sometimes just tell me.
Well, there would be other people in the suite.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. So there would be other people there. Okay. All right. Okay. Gotcha.
All right. You want to start Falcons?
Hey, JP, what's going on? Because I talked to Dave yesterday. We had Dave Archer yesterday, and obviously we talked about the Carolina thing, and then I brought the question, okay, moving on. Has this team moved on? Because they have to. Because, I mean, right now, I understand, if they would have lost to if they lost this last game 13-9, people would be mad. But because of how they lost is the reason that it's still lingering.
Right. I think that, I honestly think that question, Randy, will be answered on Sunday, and I don't know if any of us can say with any amount of certainty whether they actually have moved on. I think that it's probably actually though easier to move on after a brutal loss like that, at least for this team, than it is for, frankly, like a great win. And it feels to me like this Falcons team over the last number of years, they get trapped every time they have a big win. If it's on like a primetime game or something like that, it feels like they just don't kind of come back that next week with the same level, whatever that level is, whatever that means, whether that's like an intensity issue or just kind of being on top of your P's and Q's, whatever it is, it just feels like there's way too much of a seesaw nature of this team that has kept them, frankly, out of the playoffs. Like, to be a playoff team, if you want to consider yourself one of the top teams in the NFL, you have to bring it and be ultra competitive week after week after week, no matter whether things go great for you or whether they go terribly. And so I actually kind of feel like with things going terribly, it is kind of a shock to the system. It was very noticeable kind of being up there that, there is kind of a different atmosphere of guys feeling that sense of urgency. But I think that what's frustrating for a lot of Falcons fans is you just don't feel that maybe every single week. And I think part of that's natural and just like not being feeling like when you just have to fire a coach and things like that, there's not going to be the same like level of desperation, I guess. But that is certainly, I think, how it feels this week, where these players and coaching staff know that there are jobs and like significant things on the line for them outside of just one game result on Sunday.
Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons reporter on the WadeFord.com hotline. That's Atlanta's Ford dealer. Joe, I think coming off of last week, it's important to get some confidence going for Michael Penix early in this game. And outside of the obvious easy answer of give him some easy throws, how do the Falcons do that on Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be so important for them. And something that I felt like just watching Penix that was I had not seen before from him yet in any of his starts so far was it felt like he was growing frustrated over the course of the game. And it was kind of affecting some of the basic fundamentals that it takes to play the quarterback position well. I'm thinking specifically just kind of about the footwork, where it felt like eventually in the game he just kind of started planting his feet in the middle of that pocket and just trying to like frustratingly throw the ball. And I think that it would be important for Zach Robinson to get him on some like easier design stuff, especially considering that these opposing defenses that they're going up against, it's a lot of like too high split safety looks. And I feel like maybe the best way to combat that is just to kind of go with some half field reads where you just kind of have some simpler stuff. And honestly, when it comes to like setting Penix up for success, I think that you have to look at the play action game and be able to, utilize how dangerous Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier can be for you and use that in the passing game with regards to, just faking it to them and trying to pull, opposition defenses out of position, get them disorganized a little bit. That gives some bigger throwing windows to throw into for Penix, because ultimately, at this point in his career, he's probably not the most accurate passer. But you want to create those big windows. And honestly, this is where I'm kind of wrestling with it, guys, because in the moment, like coming off that game, I felt like there wasn't enough done to set him up for success. But then when you rewatch it back, there were definitely open receivers that he was just missing. And, in some of these, I start to feel a little bit bad for the coaching staff because, I don't know what you can do other than draw up plays that get receivers open. You just got to have your quarterback be able to hit them. And so I think part of it is, frankly, like we want to say, like, you want to set Penix up for success, but also he's got to make the plays when they're there to be made, and he didn't make them on Sunday.
Hey, Joe P, I just read off there that obviously special teams has been a problem two out of the three games and brought in another kicker. Marquise said that both kickers have had strong weeks. How do you think they determine who kicks on Sunday? Or is it just, just going to keep this competition for Romo and this other guy's backup or insurance? Does he have a legit shot to maybe kick this Sunday?
I mean, I would assume that he has a legit shot to win that job. But again, I would kind of think that it's similar to, you know, what they experienced with Younghoe Koo, which is that, you know, I think that Parker Romo has to be the kind of front runner heading into it just because he is a little bit more settled. You do have a little bit of experience, at least with him working with this holder and snapper and just the operation in general, where he had success against the Vikings. Right. But at the same time, I think there, you know, it's got to be, you don't bring in competition for no reason. Like,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You would think that, you know, there's going to be some semblance of, you know, Parker's got to make his kicks in practice this week. But it's just one of those things where, like with Younghoe, if he makes his kicks in practice, I don't see how they could really kind of get away from him. Because at that point, he basically is doing exactly what you're asking him to do. The big question, it's like, you know, the unanswerable one with kickers, and it's probably maddening for coaches, is that it's a different dynamic in a game that you just cannot replicate in a practice. No matter how hard you try, you just cannot replicate that psychological hurdle that kickers have to clear when they get in those positions. And so, having said all that, I think Parker Romo's in the lead. The other thing on special teams, though, Randy, is outside of the kicking game, is they got to get this return game sorted out, where they were not able to catch this knuckling kick that the Panthers were doing. And I kind of sympathize because, like, you, there's not a jugs machine setting that can, like, kick a knuckleball kick. And so they just don't really have the experience of being able to see that live in action until it comes. But certainly you got to think that teams are going to look at how much trouble the Falcons had in fielding those that gave them terrible field position and try to execute it themselves.
Joe, we got 20 seconds. Your thought on the pistol.
I think it's overrated how much it's kind of getting criticized as a reason for this offense. But having said that, I would say that it also – I think they do need to mix in more under-center stuff. I just think that the conversation gets overplayed as, like, the pistol is either good or it's not. It is good. They were able to set up their pass detection adjustments out of the pistol. A lot of their motions are only possible because they're in the pistol. I don't mind them running the pistol. I would just like to see a little bit more diversity in terms of utilizing some more under-center stuff.
You can always find Joe on Twitter, but also great coverage on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as well. Joe, thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.